So when we started this caper, this independent media caper 8 years ago, the focus was on corporatocracy, the rising power of corporations over democracy, money and politics. We thought there was a gap in the market, you see. The corporate media not reporting enough on corporations or properly enough. Well, we were not disappointed. It's certainly gone in that direction with political donations and lobbying. So this gap in the market has proven to be a Himalayan crevasse. And this was evinced this week with the greatest mayhem in Australian Parliament of the year as they tried to shove through. They had 76 bills at the beginning of the week and they tried to shove through plenty via the guillotine, which they did, doing deals with the Libs or the Indies and the Greens in order to shovel this legislation that had banked up through the parliament to get the job done. And so it was. The corporations were winners as well. Not entirely. We'll have a quick run through the epic week of guillotine motions, where there's no debate, just whack them through, dozens of bills through the Senate and bring them back to the House to be ratified. In the last hours of parliamentary sitting week, so we saw gambling ad reforms. They didn't get through. The media and the betting companies don't like them. The independent Environmental Protection Agency stuff, that didn't get through. That was nixed. The fossil fuel companies didn't like that. And the new superannuation earnings tax on super balances above $3 million was also nixed. The banks don't like that. Now, AML, the money laundering stuff, finally did get through, even though the banks, the lawyers and the accountants don't like that because they'll have to curb their money laundering activities, presumably. We've still got to read the detail of the Act, but they managed to stave it off for 18 long years. It was promised 18 long years ago, and it was finally shoved through this week. We almost fell off our seat here. Australians, of course, it wasn't entirely unpredictable because Australia was being threatened of being chucked onto the grey list for renegade, non-compliant, rogue nations who don't jump into line with the international regime of anti-money laundering, counter-terrorism financing laws, AML-CTF. So that did get through. The devil will be in the detail. So the government had a few wins this week. They looked fairly effective getting all this stuff done, but of course we're going to have a long tail now of when, you know, people read what we've just voted for and we've just enacted as new laws for Australia, people are going to be going, gee, I don't know whether I voted for that. But we got student debt relief through for Labor, the government. They got their housing affordability measures through, bill to rent and so on. They did get that through. Uncle Rupert's under 16 media ban to kill off TikTok. They got that through for News Corporation, which had lobbied for the social media ban. That props up media corporations. That made it through. That was another powerful win for legacy corporations. The deal with the Greens and the independents in the Senate saw the Reserve Bank reforms, the Future Made in Australia scheme, and the Supermarket Code of Conduct also pass the Senate. So it's a mixed bag. Labor did get a lot of its legislation through, so it can't be accused of being inefficient by the opposition. But the Supermarket Code of Conduct, of course, is pretty watery. The supermarkets don't like having to adhere to a code of conduct, but it's only a code of conduct. Who adheres to them anyway? It's not divestiture laws threatening to break them up if they're naughty and skewer us and the consumers on prices. So it's better than real reform, but it could have been better. Sign of the times. And the three let's be nasty to immigrants measures did pass swimmingly. That's a no-brainer there with coalition support, of course, because there are votes in being nasty to immigrants, to outsiders, stripping them of their mobile phones. Why not? Let's be nasty to these poor people. David Shoebridge's legalise cannabis bill was voted down in the Senate. It possibly could have been a good thing that the legalised marijuana bill did get up, because they weren't very chilled in this last week in the Senate. There was all sorts of rambunctious activities, people making accusations and Lydia Thorpe being chucked out and Pauline carrying on and so on. But that went down. The only funny thing in the numbers here when you look at the numbers on the legalised marijuana bill is that the Greens voted for it. They don't call them the Greens for nothing. But who were the other couple of votes? Who were the other couple of votes? Because the Greens have only got 11 seats and there was 13 ayes to 24 noes. Piquant aroma. Who was voting for the marijuana bill? It makes sense, of course. Why not tax it and legalise it? Kids are less likely to smoke as much pot if it's legal. And who are these secret pot smokers, though, these extra two eyes? Were they Coalition or were they Labour? Were they Independents? Who was it? All we know is that LNP, Labour and One Nation voted no. Meanwhile, Peter Dutton, the opposition leader. Peter Dutton, earlier in the week, had made some remarks about Australia not wanting to go down the path of the US. He said that there was, when questioned about the $1 billion spent by each of the major US parties, spent on each of the major US parties, Peter said, we don't want to go there on political donations. What he didn't realise, though, he didn't do the mathematics because we are already there. Peter has approved of Labor's idea. Peter has approved of Labor's idea of a $90 million spending cap in Australia on the political major political parties, which pro rata amounts to roughly $1.2 billion per party. So we are there in political donation land, campaign finance land, politicians bought off by corporations. In defence of the guillotine motions this week that saw this legislation pass in deals cut with the miners or with the coalition, Katie Gallagher said, Labor Senate leader, we have some weeks in this parliament where not one bill passes. Dozens passed, of course, this week. So it's interesting because the government would have been slammed for being inefficient had it not made these moves, done this horse trading. But also now we've just got a bunch of new laws, which, you know, they take quite a while to go through. We can tell you that. You've got to go through the previous law and what the amendments were and so on, and then work out the significance of it all. And that will take weeks. So we don't really know what we've got here, but we'll continue to try to have a crack at it and see some of the weaknesses and the strengths of the new legislation. But how easily we forget, in the light of this mayhem in the Senate this week, the chaos of the past, as one political observer, strangerous, reminded us on Twitter when Michael Sukkar was chucked out of Parliament, out of the lower house this week, that Speaker Bronwyn Bishop back in the day, we forget, you know, how easily the memory forgets the sins of the past. Bronwyn Bishop broke her own all-time record of ejecting members out of question time by kicking out no less than 18 Labor MPs in just one sitting. That included Albo. That's epic. Kicking 18 people out of the House in one fell swoop. So the only record she beat was her own to an earlier record set by Bronwyn. So Michael Sukkar was kicked out by the Speaker for a sketchy point of order. Also in the lower house, because the focus had been on the Senate this week, getting all these bills through, because the Labor Party has a majority in the lower house. There was a bit of action too in the House, and most of it was, as expected, over cost of living and over energy bills, where Angus Taylor was in a stoush with Chris Bowen, who reminded Angus that blackouts were more prevalent under the previous regime. In any case, over at the NPC, down the road from Parliament at the National Press Club lunch, they have these lunches and speakers get up and the journalists get up and question them. At the NPC lunch, we had Kim Williams, the relatively new chairman of the ABC, who's come under a bit of fire for kicking out the radio. Well, okay, Kim, not kicking out. For the radio announcer Sarah McDonald, Radio National, losing her job, very popular journalist. And he was asked by one journalist, Kim Williams, what he thought about Gina Rinehart's idea that the coalition, when it got into office, should have the courage, said Gina, to shut the ABC down, sell this thing, and urge the coalition to have the courage and the guts to do it. To sell it. The only problem, of course, is that it's a ridiculous idea, as Kim said. Why would you crush the commercial broadcasters by privatising the ABC? What an idea. the commercial broadcasters, you know, Seven and Nine, etc., are already under huge pressure, as is all traditional media, because of the internet. And so what do you do? Privatise the ABC, rob all their ad revenue. Why would you do that? What a silly idea. Tempting to give Gina the scam of the week. Scam of the week, Penny Wong, of course. Well, she said she would arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he came here to Australia. She got into trouble, of course, for being anti-Semitic. It's anti-Semitic to adhere to international law now, according to Murdoch and the Coalition, to adhere to ICC, International Court of Justice, International Criminal Court arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli leaders. So anti-Semitism there again. It's in Parliament every week, almost anti-Semitism. It's no wonder these bills are having trouble getting through Parliament. They have to rush them through in the last few hours of the sitting year, but there you go. So much for the international rules-based order. Of course, Australian former PMs Tony Abbott and Scott Morrison urged us all to withdraw from this international criminal court after Netanyahu arrest warrants were served or handed down. So Tony and ScoMo, of course, they know where their bread's buttered. Rupert Murdoch's there buttering it on in spades for Rupert and Tony. It was the Burmo thing, which we think Simon Birmingham, the very moderate liberal senator, quite liked by both sides of the House, of the chamber. I think we're going to hand the scam of the week to Burmo, because Burmo, during the heat of the Thursday legislation rush, the guillotine motions and all this important national public interest legislation, the laws of the country, the Senate decided to have a farewell to Burmo for an hour with a few hugs and kisses. And so Burmo, there were valedictories and all sorts of things, you know. They just consume a bit of Senate time, those guys. They don't go to the pub after work like everything else. They put the chip on. It's amazing they didn't get a few bottles of champers and a few crates of beer in for Burmo's farewell. So we give scam of the week to Simon Birmingham for having such a lavish, time-consuming farewell during the busiest time of the year in Parliament. Well, they're all mates. Well, not all mates, but that's the way it is. They're all in the same workplace, so there you go. Scam of the week to Burmo. Congratulations, Burmo. Come on down. It's your first scam of the week, and it's your last day sitting in Parliament this week. Thanks for your support. Please like, share, comment in the section below.